The emphasis of this report is on the lack of revenue transparency with respect to the Maranga Diamond deposits. And so we have looked at the current state of things for the last few years, but also focused a bit on the minister himself, mostly as him being emblematic of the wider problem of revenue transparency in Zimbabwe. But one of the biggest conclusions of the report is that despite government pronouncements to the contrary, the illicit trade of Maranga Diamonds is alive and well, and this parallel trade in Maranga Diamonds continues to thrive with the full knowledge and complicity of top officials in the Ministry of Mines, the ZMDC, the MMCZ, and most worryingly, the military.
Within the report, you also cite the issue that the biggest conduit of smuggled Maranga goods or diamonds happens inside the confines of the legal KP system. Can you, shed more light on that?
Yeah, well, I think that what we tried to do was quantify how big the plunder had been. And certainly, it's the biggest the world has seen since the days of Cecil Rhodes over 100 years ago. In conservative estimates we made, put the losses at from the illicit activity at over $2 billion since 2008. And that's happened in several ways. You have the small-scale theft and smuggling of small-time people, small-time syndicates, bigger syndicates that are being run privately by different military officials, and then you have a more orchestrated smuggling which is going on by people within the military and the Ministry of Mines. And I think that what we've concluded from that is one of the ways in which that is done is by essentially price fixing or manipulating the prices of stock of the diamonds to be less worth less than they are. And then you see those diamonds exiting other trading centers in Surat in India at sometimes double the price. And this would represent clearly a loss of revenue to the Zimbabwe Treasury.
Alan, in your report, you mentioned in particular Mines Minister Obed Mpofu. Can you shed more light on what you found out in your own investigations?
Well, I think that we clearly want to emphasize that Minister Mpofu is not the biggest beneficiary of the diamonds. But I think that he is clearly emblematic of the problem within ZANU officials. And I think that he is deserving of being called out because of his fiduciary role as the Minister of Mines to protect this resource for the Zimbabwean people. And I think that the conclusion we make is that he has failed to do that. It's also fairly clear that although he is the minister, he has nominal control over the issue of diamonds. Two of the four companies involved, most particularly Anjin and Maranga Resources, are pretty much entirely controlled by military interests. So I think that his wealth is not by any means the largest of the people who are involved. But I think it's more the fact that he has a responsibility that he is failing to exercise. But I think that in looking at his personal finances, we came to the conclusion that he has spent at least $20 million in cash in the last few years that would exceed his known revenue streams, and that includes his ministerial salary or his private sector ownerships in different companies, most importantly cattle ranching and tourism. So I think that one of the things we found was that there was one diamond company, Three Waters Investment, which he has no control over, but it appears to at times operate business out of one of his Bulawayo properties. And I think that this is something which we had hoped for Minister Mpofu to clarify. We sent him two letters asking for his side of events, and on both occasions he turned down that opportunity.
And so what would your recommendations be to the Kimberley process and the Zimbabwe government in particular?
We make several recommendations. I think that primarily recommendations are not geared at all towards the Kimberley process, because I think the KP has lost its moral authority to really say or do anything that would elicit better improvements out of Zimbabwe. So I think the bulk of the recommendations are actually focused at Zimbabwe itself, different lawmakers who have shown an interest in improving things. So that could be the Parliamentary Committee on Mines and Energy could revisit a lot of these contracts to determine whether they are actually in the interests of Zimbabwe. I think we have also that idea of supporting some kind of public declaration by both the Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Mines, to come to some kind of public understanding of what revenues should be accrued from the resource, because right now the two ministers or ministries are at loggerheads about what actually is owed. I think very clearly that requires the full disclosure of all diamond production, trade, and payment figures, so that this is very clearly in the public domain, so people can actually judge for themselves what is happening. I think there's also things where Zimbabwe could undertake the mandatory and public registry of assets of officials, elected officials, senior government officials, and their spouses. So again, people would be able to understand whether these individuals or their family might be having some kind of pecuniary responsibility or oversight in a company involved in anything to do with natural resources, whether it's diamonds or anything else. I think that the work that Minister Beattie has been doing right now on the proposal of a Diamond Act is very important, and I think that people inside and outside Zimbabwe should support him in that that effort. I think the other conclusion we made was very clearly illicit Maranga diamonds have infected the entire diamond supply. And I think this requires the diamond industry to take extra measures to commitment to the ethical and legal sourcing of diamonds beyond what they do right now.